Welcome back, family. This is your boy ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means it. Hey, I'm back with another one. Today's episode is entitled Project Management Demystified, Unveiling Its Importance. Again, Project Management Demystified, Unveiling Its Importance. Hey, listen, family. This right here, you want to stick around and pay attention to. Especially if you've run into some projects with chaos and frustration, this content is for you today. I got you. Say less. Let's go through my seven point framework. If you're new here, have a 7-point framework. After the 7-point framework, we out. That's how we do it. We get it done. We execute, and then we move on to the next one. So first point in the 7-point framework that I have for you today about demystifying this thing we call project management. First one is strategic alignment. So basically, when it comes to strategic alignment, you can look at it from an organizational standpoint as well as a departmental standpoint as well. But most of the time, it's more of an organizational look. So what it looks like is that the project aligns with the actual organization visions and goals, meaning, so it's a prioritization. So we prioritize the initiatives, we allocate the right resources, and making sure that the project is moving forward in the desired location. You get that? Let's go on to point number two. Point number two is effective resource utilization. Again, effective resource utilization. Let me be honest with you, family. That's one of the biggest constraints that I've seen in my years of project management is resource. And it's not that the resources are not there, it's that sometimes the priority shift, as I told you before in point number one, was about the strategic alignment. And sometimes with the strategic alignment, the priorities shift. And when the priorities shift, you may be, your project that you may have had a lot of resources all of a sudden gets pulled because this has been made a priority now. And with it being made a priority, of course, the resource is going to shift. But let me tell you how you address that. How you address that is ensuring that you optimize the time, the budget, as well as the talents that's working on your project. So by optimizing that, I am saying is that you need to figure out while you're leading this project to be able to create, I call it sort of like a little small mini organization of resources that you have. And that looks like basically saying, okay, so I have 5 people on this project that are supposed to be working on it. If one of them were to leave or something of that nature, what are my next steps? So you need to be creating a vision for yourself as a project manager to be thinking, watch this, 2 to maybe even 3 steps ahead to say if this happens. So it's really imperative that you really make sure that you're connecting with your stakeholders day in and day out. Now, I know that sounds a little, you know, a lot, but you'll never know when you're having these conversations. And it's all about when you're working with your stakeholders, it's about building relationships anyway, family. So point number 3, develop a strategic plan. Now, you know the motto here. I still need to look that quote up. But anyway, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And so having a strategic plan. Now, keep in mind, I'm gonna say it, and I know you guys are getting tired of me saying it, family. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. What I mean by that is ensuring that when someone says a project plan, that they're referencing the 10 knowledge areas. They're not referencing just a schedule. So you wanna be clear, because that jargon of project management plan and schedule have barely been kind of mixed together. So wanna make sure we're all on the same page. But making sure you have a project management plan in place will help emphasize on identifying and managing risk. It will help you when it comes to mitigation, any mitigation planning that you have, and just basically continuous monitoring on potential threats and, watch this, seizing potential opportunities. Let's move on to the next point. Next point is my favorite. No, I'm just playing. It is my favorite. Stakeholder satisfaction. I got so excited. I couldn't even say it. Stakeholder satisfaction. What does that look like? That's just basically being upfront with your stakeholders. But I'm going to dig in. You know, I'm going to unpack it a little bit more. But it's all about transparency. See, family, when you're a project manager, your job. And a lot of people are not going to like it at times when you have to be this transparent. But family, if you don't be transparent, I'm going to tell you, it's going to come back to bite you. It's going to come back to bother you. It's going to come back. Basically, it's going to come back. And the reason why you want to be able to be transparent is you want to be able to make sure that you are involving the right stakeholders, that you're, if you're leading a waterfall project, then you're following the life cycle and you're addressing their needs and expectations, because expectations shift. One of the things I love what T.D. Jakes has said, and I totally agree with it, when he said frustration comes out of the expectations that one has. And so when you're not addressing those concerns and developing, you want to, and developing a bond, a relationship to ensure you guys are on the same page. And when I mean, when I keep, I know I keep saying the same page, but family, as the project continues to progress, you need, you want to be checking in to make sure the expectations are aligned of where the project is, the direction the project is heading. Because if not, what will happen is you get to the end of the project, and let's say you leverage what I recommended to you before, like a SurveyMonkey or Microsoft Forms, to get some feedback. You're gonna be frustrated, like, well, why they didn't say anything to me then? Well, family, I'm letting you know now. Sometimes it's sort of like when you heard of it, when they say you go to a good restaurant and sometimes people won't even tell that they went to that great restaurant. But I promise you, you go to a bad restaurant, you'll tell everybody and their mama, their cousin, their uncle, and their brother's side. Why? Because of the whole thing, family, is that you want to, you when you're leading a project, you want to set those exceptional standards. You want to make sure that you're letting your stakeholder know, I am here, I'm here to stay, but I'm also here to support you. The only way I can make you look good is that we make you look good, if that makes any sense. Let's move on to point number 5, time delivery. We talking about execution? Yes, execution. Listen, family, in today's world, the first person to market is probably going to most of the time outwork their competition. However, the challenge is, yes, you're first to the market, but the product may be so what do you do then? Then you have to, you have to understand that since speed is crucial, making sure that you are defining timelines, you are meeting deadlines, and you're also delivering tremendous value in a timely manner as well. And delivering value is making sure that you are keeping in line with your stakeholders. You're always going to hear me say that. If any project manager tells you anything different, but I would love to hear it, because your stakeholders are really the soul of your project, because without them, you're not there to help lead. Without them, you're not there to basically be the support system that they need. So family, your stakeholders are very important, and time delivery is extremely important when you're leading a project. And then I'll imagine if you were leading, you know, a Scrum type, you're using a framework of Scrum. Time is of the essence, you know, if you're running a 2 to 3 week sprint. So I won't go into that, family, because we're talking about time delivery, but I wanted to give you a caveat about that. Adaptability and agility. Listen, I got a story for you about this. That's point number 6. I remember when I first really learned about adaptability and agility with regards to project management. I knew about it in Scrum, but when I start seeing it more in project management, because I was so used to that waterfall approach, like, you know, you just do step A and then you move from step A to step B and step B to step C. And it was just like, so I was caught up in that dogma of this is how it has to be. You have to have all of these artifacts before we can move on to the next phase within the project life cycle. And a lot of artifacts you do need to have in place. However, there are certain artifacts that is not prevalent or even relevant to what you're actually doing on this project. So when you're looking at your project, don't use a one size fit all, because what makes it even a project? What does PMI say? Well, let's paraphrase real quick so we can get straight to the next point. But the point of it is a project is a temporary endeavor. It has a beginning date and an end date. So if that's the case, it's okay to leverage certain methodology and framework, but always be willing to adapt and change if it makes sense based on what the project objection is, what the project vision is, where and what the actual, and also I want to say this, I'll give you another caveat. You also want to make sure that while you have with this team, because you got to kind of understand their strengths and weaknesses as well. So they may be very strong, like you have your project schedule up and everyone is providing you the task and providing everything. And then you may have other situations where it's not working that way. So you have to find unique ways. Here's another story. I don't know, I'm guessing full of stories today. I remember when I was leading this project, and again, I'm trying to communicate through email. This was my very first lesson, and this was in my young project management days, of people were just communicating via email. And I'm like, let's get on a call. We can knock this out in 15 minutes or less if we get on a call versus you send the email, I sit there and wait. Then I send the email and then you sit there and wait, because now once you get the email, you gotta read the email, then you gotta, you know, articulate a proper response. And I'm like, if we got on a phone call all together, we'll be able to do that. So family, when you're being adaptable and agile, when you're leading a project, be creative. Don't get put in, you know what I'm about to say, no point intended, a box. Anyway, let's move on to point seven. Point number seven, continuous, and I do mean continuous improvement. Continuous improvement looks like this, lessons learned. A lot of times, as I stated before, a lot of project managers don't run lessons learned through the whole project. They wait till the end of the project and then they wanna talk. And you still need that piece, but you also need the pieces that been that as you're going through each phase of the project or each step of the project, because those are gonna be valuable lessons in which you'll be able to, you know, lead other projects with. And also you'll learn best practices and also being able to understand the feedback mechanisms, you know, because people give feedback in different ways and you have to just pick up on it at times. Like somebody may want to just only give feedback through SurveyMonkey. Some people want to give you face-to-face feedback. Some people just want to send you an email or what we call a nastygram and tell you how, you know, how bad this is. And some other people will just talk behind your back. But hey, it is what it is, family. But what the point I'm trying to make is that in continuous improvement, because you're watching this video and I know you're an exceptional project manager, you want to make sure you're always continuously improved. So each project you should be getting better, because these are reps. What did you say? I said they're reps. It's sort of like working out. You know, the only way that your muscles get, you know, bigger and stronger is through tearing your muscles and constantly doing reps. So more reps that you're doing over time, you'll be able to get stronger. I do not approve that I'm a health nutrition or anything like that, but I know it works. Anyway, I digress. Hopefully, family, you enjoyed today's episode. This has been your boy, AD. Until next time, I'm out.